I desire your prayers this evening. Jesus, all the time, never grows old. It applies to every stage of our life and every need of our life as well. I want to begin by reading two scriptures in Galatians to establish a little thought. I want to pull one word out of these two scriptures. And Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 22 and 23, common scriptures about the fruits of the Spirit. Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, there's quite a bit there just in those two scriptures, but I want to pull one word out of this one, and this is joy. I want to talk about joy tonight, and first of all, I want to establish this fact that the fruits of the Spirit are not forced out of anybody. They just emanate. It's just a fruit. It's what comes out of what's inside of you. It's because of a relationship that you and I, anyone, would have with the Lord. And how much of the Spirit of God is within you, that's how much fruit is going to come out. And will come out a fruit of love, joy, and so on and so forth. And it's something that cannot be imitated. It's genuine. If it's of the Spirit of God, it'll be genuine love and genuine and real joy, and real peace, and so on and so forth. And so, having that backdrop, I want to explore perhaps some keys to real joy. Now, this time of year, especially the holiday season, Thanksgiving's just over, and we have the month of December ahead of us. And ironically enough, most of us would think that the holiday season, especially around Christmas time, would be one of the most joyous times of the year. And that's true for a lot of folks. But you also realize, according to statistics, I'm not going to read them here tonight, but it's just a proven fact, they say that the month of December alone has the highest rates of suicide of any other month. And it is also the month of December and January, I think, probably follows close to that as far as folks that fall into depression during the month of December. And for various reasons, we all can understand, maybe it's family issues or, you know, relationship issues. It's also a difficult time financially for several, and maybe for some it's dealing with memories of lost loved ones. It's too overwhelming sometimes during the holiday season. So the list goes on and on. But the flip side of that is you think of Christmas, and especially, I'll read just a few here, Christmas carol songs, especially the religious ones, and how many of them deal with the thought of joy. I'll just read a few of them here. I'm not going to read the titles. Well, one of them is a title, but most of them you'll probably pick up on. The obvious one is Joy to the World. Another one, just a phrase in it says, O tidings of comfort and joy. And another one, Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. And another one, From angels bending near the earth with news of joy foretold. And another one, Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. And many more we could go on. But the fact of the matter is, and not just Christmas time, I want to focus, just like in Thanksgiving, that we need to have a spirit of Thanksgiving year-round. Well, I believe we should have a spirit of Christmas, of joy, year-round. Because given the fact of just those few songs that I mentioned, most of those are dealing with the birth of Jesus. That was a joyful, glad tiding that the angels were singing and others were proclaiming in the streets and so forth. Those that comprehended the fulfillment of the prophecies, that this was a joyous time. Our Savior, our Messiah, is finally here. And so there was reason to be joyful, that this is the day of salvation. But here's something let's consider here. There is a difference between joy and happiness. Now I'll read you a couple of definitions of joy. And they cross over. They're related, obviously. But joy is to experience great pleasure or delight from success and good fortune, or possessing your desires. Well, and you apply that spiritually speaking, you can understand where this true joy is talking about as a fruit of the Spirit. But to take this a little further, joy is something that takes time. It's a process sometimes. You don't just immediately all of a sudden, poof, you got joy. But it's something that over time you develop joy. Like Aunt Marilyn was saying earlier, about Philip, where he realized that he's very thankful for the hope of eternal life. Well, yes, he was reminded of that, but that's something that's ongoing, something that as you continue your relationship with the Lord, that that hope gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Therefore, the joy is greater and greater. You're anticipating, especially those that are nearing the end of life in their 80s, 90s, or so on, they realize that they're soon going to be crossing over. And so with joy inside, they're looking forward to enjoying that glorious appearing, meeting with their Savior. But again, it's something, it's a process. It doesn't just happen immediately. And where happiness is based solely or mainly upon the circumstances, what you see and feel right now. And it's more shallow, and it comes and goes. And I read a quote that really, I think, explains this even better than what I've been able to do. It says, happiness is an emotion, and joy is an attitude. We heard about attitudes this morning, ironically enough. Emotions come and go, but attitudes come and grow, whether it's a bad attitude or a good attitude. So you can grow with joy. Again, it's a process. It's something that you get more and more of it. Just like in growing in grace and growing with the fruits of the Spirit. Just like trees, natural trees that bear fruit. The first few years, it's very little fruit. But give it time to mature. And before long, it'll just be loaded with apples or oranges or grapes, or vines with grapes or whatever. But the fruit will become more and more plenteous. Well, here's another word I want to throw this in that's actually interchangeable with joy. And that is the word rejoice. And there's many Christmas songs that mention the word rejoice as well. But rejoice is basically taking again joy. It's given to joy, gladdened, to feel great delight. It's almost, I look at the word rejoice and it's more of an action where you proclaim loudly, whether it's shouting or singing or giving praise or whatever, it's you're rejoicing. It's another way of expressing your joy that you have. Well, I got some scriptures here I want to read, and again to emphasize the point that my burden here tonight is there are keys to experiencing true joy and fulfilling that joy that we should have as a Christian following Christ and with this hope of eternal life. Let's read John 15 and start with verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We just read about that in Galatians, about the fruits of the Spirit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now here's the key note here. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Thank the Lord. There's something a fullness of joy that we can experience. But the key to this, and we just read this, is if you keep His commandments, then you will experience the fullness of His love. Therefore, you experience the fullness of joy that's available. Now, here's something that, if you look at it this way, it's basically you're keeping yourself clear before God. You're following His commandments. You're listening to His word. You're applying His word in your life, and you're growing. You're bearing fruit, and the fruit is increasing each year, or however you want to emphasize that. But the point is, you're growing. Well, the key to that again is you're obeying God, and you're keeping yourself, the channels clear between you and the Lord. And this brings us to the next little thing. I want to write something on the board here. And it's something that we have seen, or I've seen numerous times. I remember my mother, she had a little Christmas decoration she would put up. And let me write this up here. It had to do with joy. And of course, it has an acronym. The J for joy, standing for Jesus. And O for joy, standing for others. And the Y for yourself. Now that's something we're familiar with. J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for yourself. And in that order. And the emphasis I've heard over and over is, if you put greater emphasis on pleasing Jesus, that's number one. And this is following the commandments, the two greatest commandments, to love Jesus, the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one, others, your neighbor as yourself. So if you put those in that order and then put yourself last, then that helps you, your joy be fulfilled. Well, I want to add a little twist to this, and to tie in with the scriptures, the rest of the scriptures we have, there is something else along with that. And I'm going to, we'll basically just do this. We'll just erase others. Not that we're doing away with that, but to put it this way, we have Jesus, and then a zero, and then yourself. In other words, we have zero or nothing. And what that's meaning is nothing between you and Jesus. And that's what these scriptures are talking about. This one in John that we just read, it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So in order to abide in Jesus and to be close to Him by obeying His commandments, you don't keep anything in between. In other words, you empty out all your own selfish ambitions, your selfish pride, all those things. You empty those out and say, Lord, I give it all to You. I want what You want. I want to obey Your laws and Your commandments. Therefore, nothing between. Zero. Well, there's another scripture. Psalms, the 5th chapter, in verse 11, it says, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Now let's consider that verse a little closer here. First off, it says, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. And let them ever shout for joy. Now let's stop right there. How many times, and perhaps we've all been guilty of this, perhaps we get involved in an extracurricular activity outside of church, whether it be, some type of game you're playing with your children, or playing sports, or doing some other activity, and it's very easy. You get relaxed and enjoying yourself, and you get loud, especially if it's people you're familiar with, family or friends. And you get really loud and boisterous and really enjoy yourself. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But You come to church and won't hardly say a peep. Perhaps we've all been guilty of that. And you don't, you know, but it's something that I believe the Lord would have us to all mature and grow and realize that, you know, we can make our voice known for the Lord as well. That is keeping zero, nothing in between, where I'm not just selfish, that it's not all just about me and my pleasures, but no, how could I please God? What could I do to please Him? Perhaps coming to church, giving in a thanksgiving. That's making your voice be heard. And that's, for the most part, you are testifying to God and to others and to the devil as well that, hey, the Lord has done something for me and I'm thankful for it. And I don't want anything to come in between me and my relationship with the Lord. So I'm willing to voice that. So that's the one. Let them ever shout for joy. But then let's consider the last part. Because thou defendest them, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. In other words, I believe if you can look at it in this light, it's important that we stay close to God. And it is much easier for Him, get what I'm saying here, it's much easier for the Lord to defend you and I if we're nestled right up close to His bosom. You understand what I'm saying? If there's nothing between, we're right there close to the Lord, seeking Him, trusting in Him, as this verse is saying, that those that put their trust in thee, then guess what? It's much easier for Him to defend you. He can hide you in the hollow of His hand. No one can touch you. You see what I'm saying? That's where He wants you and I. Nothing between, nothing to conflict or to cause the Lord to... Well, there's several things, several scriptures that the Lord says, things that He abhors and things that basically turn His stomach. And pride is one of those. And pride is something that can get in between us and the Lord. So there's an element here that as long as we're trusting the Lord, we're getting as close to Him as we can, then guess what? He can defend us. And it's a beautiful relationship, and that joy gets brighter and brighter. And we're so much more say, Lord, thank you for protecting me in that particular situation because I didn't know what to do. So I trusted in you, and Lord, it worked out. And so our joy is even greater. You see, it's kind of a cycle there. Well, here's another verse. Luke, the 10th chapter, in verse 19. It says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Thank the Lord. That's our goal right there. You know, the disciples here, they were bewildered. They were obviously wanting, Jesus was speaking to them here, And they're wondering, they're wanting this great power from God where they can perform these miracles and deliver souls and heal bodies and all these things. And the Lord's saying, well, that's good and that's great, but don't rejoice in that. The thing we need to do is focus on the giver of all this power. Focus on the Lord and not yourself. In other words, don't puff yourself up. I'm going back to pride again. And that's one of the key things that can hinder our joy is we get puffed up within ourselves thinking that we are something. And here the Lord's saying, Jesus is saying, rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. That should be our ultimate goal. Yes, we want to save other souls and to lead other souls to Christ. We can't save them. But yes, we want to testify for the Lord. We want to do all those things. But more importantly, above and beyond all that, you need to have your own soul clear before the Lord. Have nothing between. Zero. Have self totally out of the way. Well, another verse. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Now this one gets a little deep. This is perhaps where we live. I'm going to turn to that. There may be a few other scriptures to bring out. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. This is real life. sometimes we go along the path of life and, you know, Joy is just something that the world kind of has it wrong in this sense. They think that someone that's joyful is always, I hope you understand what I'm saying here, they think that someone that's joyful always goes around just with the kick in their step and smiling and whistling and singing, and that's what they picture someone with joy. Now let me give you another picture here. When Jesus was going to the cross, and he was saying he was willing to bear the cross and to suffer death on the cross and to go through all that suffering for you and I, but it was for the joy that was set before him. I don't think Jesus, on that day when he was trying to carry his cross and he got so weak, so tired that he couldn't carry it, I don't think Jesus was just dancing around, whistling and singing, but no, he did have a joy in his heart. Because he realized the end of the thing. You see, it was a process. He realized, I must persevere for this greater joy that's going to come in the end. So right now I have, yes, maybe it's not a great exuberant joy that I'm expressing, but I still have a joy within because there's that hope, that anticipation of something greater that's going to come out of this. You see? So that's where the world, they'll, perhaps, and rightfully so, sometimes they're very critical of Christians that walk around with a long face. And Lord help us, I've been guilty of that myself. Maybe walk into a store or walk into someone's house and they're kind of, well, you sure look happy today, kind of sarcastically. And, well, okay, then maybe I got to remind myself, where's my joy at? You know, what am I focusing on? Am I focusing just on myself? Is something coming in between Jesus and myself? Maybe that's the problem. Or maybe just the circumstances of life, my emotions get caught up and I don't have any real happiness, and therefore it starts chipping away at the joy that I once had in my soul. And then it's just, again, a vicious downward cycle where then something starts coming in between us and Jesus, and we realize that something's wrong here and I'm losing some of that joy. And guess what? Others start picking up on that. Well, Lord help us. So here is one of those things in this first chapter of, or First Peter, book of Peter, chapter 4, and verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." In other words, we all are faced with life. And just when you think, or when I think, I've had the worst day possible or the worst week possible, I've done everything wrong, I made a fool of myself, and maybe someone crashed in my car, maybe the wash machine broke, and maybe the children's sick, and maybe I, you know, the whole long list of things. And perhaps we're even struggling with the spiritual battle in my life and all these things. But he's saying, as though some strange thing is happening to you. In other words, Peter is speaking from experience here. He's been down that path before. He's had some rough days, some bad days. Think of the times he was thrown in prison. He was beaten. That wasn't fun. But there was something else. There was that joy that he had deep within that wasn't based upon the circumstances. And he also had a hold of something deeper here about this fiery trial he was experiencing. It says here, verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And isn't that something? You know what that tells me? There is a way for you and I to get really close to the Lord and really close to Jesus, and that is to suffer like he suffered. That's getting really close. That touches Jesus' heart because he's realizing that's my child down there that's suffering through whatever circumstance, whatever trial, and I'm going to intercede for them to my Heavenly Father and say, "Father, you see what my child's going through." And that's not fun. I was once in the flesh and experienced these fiery trials of the flesh. That's not enjoyable in the flesh. And so he's saying, "Father, have pity on them. Father, would you help them out? Would you give them some grace? Would you give them just a little glimmer? Sometimes, have you ever had this before? Where the Lord, when you're going through one of the darkest times, perhaps of your life, and the Lord will give you just a little glimmer, a little glimpse of heaven. Let me tell you something. I've had that happen a couple times in my life. And talk about getting a kick in my step. There came a point where I didn't care what else was going on. I got just a little glimpse of heaven and just the Lord speaking to me, comforting me, encouraging me, saying, "Child, press on. There's greater joy up in heaven than what you experience here on earth." Yes, you can experience your joy can be full here in the earth, but guess what? Our bodies are limited. Our minds are limited. What did Apostle Paul say? That he saw into those other levels of heaven to where he couldn't express them in words, but he saw it too. And guess what? He persevered until he was martyred for the Lord. You know what that tells me? That through all the fiery trials that we are faced with today, that we can get a hold of something realizing I'm suffering for Christ, not just for a selfish reason. I'm willing to, Lord, help me go all the way because I want to be so close to you that nothing comes in between you and I, and the Lord can defend us. The Lord can protect us. The Lord can whisper those little words of comfort, those little words of encouragement and of hope that, child, you can make it. And that gives us joy, exceeding joy. Isn't that wonderful, this plan of salvation? Well, here's another scripture. John, the 16th chapter. Again, this is real life. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples, knowing that he was soon going to the cross. And he knew they were going to be sorrowful. And he says here in John 16, verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." You know, that's something invaluable that we can have within our hearts. That joy, that unspeakable joy that we can have welling up as a spring flowing out that man can't even stop it. They can't put their finger in the plug and stop it. It's just gushing out. That joy that we can have. But you want to know something? As with here in this situation, there was some sorrow that came before that. And you know, it's kind of the contrast that we go through life, we go through these cycles, these up and down experiences. And again, it affects our emotions and our feelings. And Lord, maybe I don't feel so happy right now. I have a little bit of joy in there, but there's not a whole lot of it. But the Lord will take us through those valleys and those mountaintop experiences up and down. That's life. That's the fiery trials. That's the sorrow. That's what the disciples experienced here. They were... There was these other times where they were experiencing and witnessing God or Jesus performing those miracles and raising the lame and healing the blind and saving souls. And they were on the mountaintop. Then come Jesus' crucifixion, they were in the valley. And they were sorrowful. Their master, their leader, their king, he was crucified. And that's it. But Jesus is saying, no, you're going to have sorrow right now. Here in a little while, you're going to really experience some sorrow. But be of good cheer. The scripture says, I have overcome the world. I've conquered death. That this is not the end of the story. And again, as this is here, it says, "And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." There was a greater experience Jesus was pointing towards. Thank the Lord. An experience of being filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Filled with the Holy Ghost, to where they came out with power in their lives. And the fruits of the Spirit were even more amply shown and were just emanating from their lives. And Peter got up and preached a powerful message and hundreds of souls are being saved. That's power with God. And that's joy put into action. And they're rejoicing. All these several of the saints there that had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're rejoicing in exceeding joy. And guess what? It says, "In your joy no man taketh from you." They got a hold of something that the world couldn't take from them. The devil couldn't take this joy away from them. They went on fighting for the Lord, saying, "Lord, you've done so much for me. And now I saw all these miracles, and now I'm experiencing miracles in my life of what you've performed for me. And so, Lord, I got a hold of something. Nobody can take it from me. And I'm so close to you." Again, nothing between. Zero. Zilch. have that close relationship with the Lord, and He's holding His hand over me saying, child, yes, let's press on to glory. There's something greater. And this brings us to the final scripture in Jude, first chapter, verse 1, or Jude 1 and 24. It says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know, that should be all of our goals, and I'm sure it is tonight. All of us here, we want to experience that. We can stand before the presence of the Lord on that day of judgment, that great final day, and be presented faultless before the presence of His glory. And we can go to that day of judgment with boldness. Why? Because we have this exceeding joy that the Lord has done all this for me. I've obeyed His commandments. There's nothing between. And I have this joy that's fixing to be so much that my body can't take it anymore. And sure enough, our physical bodies will fall by the wayside. And we'll have this glorious body, the spirit that lives on in our soul, and experience the fullness of heaven, the fullness of God, the fullness of everything blissful, eternal, wonderful that God has prepared for us, and we can experience in its fullness. But it's only if we are faithful and are found faultless before His presence of His glory. And how do we get that? By obeying His commandments, by trusting in Him, having nothing between ourselves and the Lord. That's the key. These are keys to having our joy full. And this is something, again, the world can't take it away. But guess what? You can give it away, basically. And start taking on things that just gives us a temporal pleasure. The happiness, just the temporal, short-term things based upon circumstances and things you see and you experience in the flesh. And you start focusing on that, guess what? You start getting selfish. And then all these other fruits of the works of the flesh start working, and the fruits of the Spirit get squelched. And that joy starts fading away. Well, let me tell you something. We can have this joy, and not just today, and not just during the Christmas season. And I did have a reason for, I believe the Lord impressed upon me, and it was a challenge to me. This Christmas season, we can have this joy. But let me tell you something. It can go above and beyond just this Christmas season. It can be year-round, all the way on into eternity. That's what the Lord wants for us to have. That eternal joy, that everlasting joy within our hearts, being thankful, as with Thanksgiving we just experienced, that being thankful that the Lord has delivered us from all these things that that wear us down, that pull us down, that get in between our souls and the Lord. But this is something we can all experience, a fullness of joy. And here's the key. We must persevere. Those days, those hours, those weeks that we don't feel that joy, you know what you can do? You know what I can do? What we can all do? Get down on our knees and say, Lord, I don't know what's happened to this joy. I'm losing the newness, the freshness of the salvation that You gave to me that was a gift of God. And I'm kind of losing the edge of it. And perhaps I'm not as thankful for what You've done for me. And say, Lord, is there something between us? Is there something in there that's gotten between, that's maybe some friction of our spirit? My spirit versus the Lord's space. Say, Lord, reveal, as David prayed in the book of Psalms, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way. Say, Lord, I want that joy back. I want my joy fulfilled. And as we heard this morning about attitudes, and Cliff mentioned this, that good attitudes and bad attitudes both are contagious. And let me tell you something. A real joy is contagious. You can pass that on. You can't give it to others, but it'll be emanating from you as the fruit of the Spirit. The others will observe that and say, you know, they got something. And it's not just, they're just happy as a lark all the time, but they're steady and they're persevering. And yes, there are times maybe they do shout for joy and really exuberant. But the key is they're progressing, they're growing, and they're moving on. And they're more and more thankful of all the times the Lord protected them. The Lord helped them. The Lord came to their rescue. The Lord delivered them through their fiery trial. That's a child of God. That's someone that has a fruit of the Spirit called joy. And it's full. And it's growing. You know, it's a challenge to me. But it's something that the devil, you know, as the scripture says, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to squelch that joy that we can have in our souls today and from now on. The devil wants to come in and just put one little thing in between there to start perhaps where we start questioning. Well, maybe the Lord's kind of slow in working this out, so I'm going to start doing something on my own. Well, is that trusting the Lord? Maybe you start relying on your flesh, relying on your own ideas and opinions to say, Lord, I think I can work this out. And I think, well, Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us to have this joy fulfilled in our hearts. Pray for me that I be faithful.